we're going to be looking at answers about healing. Let's open in prayer as we come around the Word of God tonight. Father, we quieten our hearts before you. We desire to understand your Word and to especially understand tonight about healing and what your Word says about this important area. Father, I pray that all of us would have understanding hearts tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you've been here for some time at Victory Faith Centre, you'd know that we have preached quite a lot about healing. And tonight we're going to look at biblical answers about healing. The Lord impressed upon me that there are certain questions that come up and there are answers. So this will be a question and answer type thing, and the answers come directly from the scriptures. And of course, one thing that's very important is that we base our thinking on this book. We base our thinking on this book because this is the Word of God. And if you base your thinking on the Word of God, just like this man, he's sick, but there's one book for such a time. Now, the way the world approaches this is very different from the way the Kingdom of God talks about sickness and healing and so on. The world doesn't even understand the true nature of sickness. But the Word of God says quite a lot about it. So we're going to be looking at some questions and then answers. As the Lord leads, I'll invite people at the end if you need prayer, as the Lord leads. But there's a specific thing that I believe the Lord wants done tonight if you are going to have prayer. So we look at the first question: was there death and sickness before the fall of man in the Garden of Eden? Now, if you believe the book of Genesis, you'll know that God made the whole of creation in 6 days, and man was made on the sixth day. But then something happened. But notice what God says in Genesis 1 verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So if you were to look today at the world, would you say that cancer was very good? You wouldn't, would you? Would you say that disasters and infirmity and little children getting sick, etc., and all this type of thing, is that very good? It's not, is it? So obviously something has happened to the creation. Something has happened, and it's very clear that the Word of God makes it very clear that something did happen. The creation account shows that sickness was not a part of creation originally. It's very different from the evolutionary story, which says that the whole of everything we see came about by death and struggle and so on. So the biblical Christian can't believe and should not believe, because you've got to be biblical in this way. Build your thinking upon the Word of God. The biblical Christian cannot believe that God originally had all types of death and struggle and sickness and so on before the fall of man. Notice I use the word the fall of man, because man had a choice, and we'll see that in a minute. So we ask the question, where does sickness come from? And it's a good question to ask. Now, where does it come from? What does the Bible tell us about it? Well, the Bible's very clear in Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, and that's talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So Adam was the representative of the human race, and because he sinned, all came under that death. And because of that, you can see that sin entered into the world. Well, that tells you that prior to that time, prior to the fall, sin wasn't in the world. Okay, but now we're in a fallen world, we're in a fallen creation. And as you can see, death then passed upon all men. And of course, we're talking about the death cycle here. You know, what is sickness and disease all about? It's all about trying to get you into your grave, isn't it? Trying to get people destroyed. But of course, God is very clear that he is a good God. And we'll see lots of scriptures related to that, and that he provides healing and health and restoration for people as they respond to him in obedience and faith. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain." Notice those words, "in pain," together until now. So we know the whole creation is groaning and travailing. There's all types of problems and things happening. And that's because sin entered in. Sin entered in. At the beginning we saw God said everything that he'd made was very good. And then man made a decision to go against the will of God. We won't go into detail about that. He made this decision to go against the will of God, and sin entered into the world, and death. And you see, the whole creation was affected by that. There's a scripture that comes up, and Galatians 3:13, the first part of that, tells us, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." The Bible's very clear that Jesus became our substitute. He took sin and the curse upon himself. In fact, the Bible is very clear. It says that he was made a curse for us. So you can see that the whole of creation, the world, is under the curse at the moment. This is the biblical way of thinking. But Christ has provided the solution. And this is the big thing. He's provided the solution. He's redeemed us. That means he's provided the payment. So redeemed us from the curse of the law. And of course, the payment was his blood, and the Bible talks a lot about that. And notice that as a symbol on the cross, he wore the crown of thorns. And if you go back into Genesis, you know that part of the curse was that thorns and thistles and so on would come in because of the curse. So that was symbolic, that he took the curse. He became a curse for us. He was made a curse for us. So we ask again, what is the curse of the law? And the curse of the law is the result of judgment upon sin, which is rebellion and disobedience to what God has said. And if you think about it, if man has rejected God, then what else is there left? If God is good, if he represents everything that's good, then what is there if you don't choose good? Well, there's obviously the opposite of good, the opposite of blessing. And so if you were to look at what the curse of the law is, there's several aspects to this. We don't have time to go through all the scriptures, but one aspect of that was separation from God, including spiritual and physical death. We saw that about death coming into the world. But that's also spiritual death came into the world as well. Separation between God and man because of sin. And so men and women are born with a sinful nature that needs to be dealt with. They need to be washed clean by Christ. They need to be made new creatures in Christ. That's what the Word of God tells us. See, death is not extinction. Death is separation. If you die physically, that means your inner man is separated from your outer man, your body, your flesh. The part of the curse of the law, well, the first part about separation from God we can find in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, and Isaiah 59, verse 2. Also, the fall of creation and the ensuing chaos. Obviously, you see all types of natural disasters, for example, earthquakes, etc. You see all types of things in nature that are propagating the death cycle, okay? So there was the fall of creation. And we can find that in Genesis 3, 16 and 19, and Romans 5, verse 12 and 8, verse 22. And also there's poverty and lack, and you can find that in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 to 68. There's quite a lot of scripture about that, and Proverbs 10, verse 15b. And also under it is sickness, disease, and infirmity. And that's also found in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 to 68. So what I want you to just have is an awareness of what the curse of the law is. Okay, the curse came in because man rejected blessing, and there's nothing else to accept but the curse, which is the opposite of blessing, obviously. So we see that the scripture is very clear that this is what the curse of the law is. Now, remember the scripture that we read before, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So he's provided salvation by being made a curse for us. Some people think that salvation is only, oh, you get born again so you don't have to go to hell. But it's more than that. Salvation is all about, yes, you enter into the kingdom of God, you receive Christ as your Saviour, you enter in. Yes, you don't have to go to hell, but in the kingdom of God are all types of blessings. The Bible talks about the blessing of Abraham, and we'll look at that in a bit more detail. So what is the curse of the law? Still continuing with this question. When Adam, as man's representative, rejected God, he chose the opposite of God. That is the opposite of life, love, truth, holiness, health, etc. Okay? You can't say, well, I reject God, but I'm still going to have all the blessing. And that's what some people want to do. They want to live their lives without God and still think that they can be blessed. Well, you know, that's not right. Because God, the Bible says God is love, God is truth, etc. God is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you reject him, you're rejecting life, aren't you? So once again, we come back to the scripture. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So the cross is a very, very important event in man's history. Very important event in man's history. He was made a curse for us. And if we can understand that he was made a curse for us, for you, for me, every one of us individually, then he becomes, as you realise that, you see what he's done for you personally by the stripes of Jesus, by the whippings, the lashings of Jesus. Ye were healed. So you were healed as that curse was being laid upon him. Here's another scripture. Why does the Bible say that the Lord would bring disease upon certain people? Now, I want us to be understanding, because there are some hard bits in scripture. This is one that people refer to. And the Bible does say this in Deuteronomy 28, verse 60. Moreover, I will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Now, as I said before, if you reject God, then there's nothing else that could be brought to you except the opposite. And so the answer to this is that because of sin or disobedience to God's law, that's what sin is, judgment has come into the earth, and this is part of the curse of the law. So blessing and healing and health, God promises not for the enemies of God, not for those that rebel against him. He promises for those who come to him, who accept him rather than the opposite of him. So God cannot bring blessing upon sin. I think we've got to really understand this. The Bible talks about people that are servants of sin. They're what we would call sinners. A sinner is a servant of sin. A saint or a person who's a righteous person, a person who's come into Christ, is a servant of God, a servant of righteousness, the Bible calls us. So if you're born again, you're no longer serving sin. God gives you power to be able to serve him. He gives you the enablement. But you've got to walk by faith in this. But God cannot bring blessing upon sin. And God's mercy has provided healing within salvation. God's mercy. See, none of us deserved salvation, and none of us deserve healing. None of us deserve blessing. And we've got to see that it's only God's mercy that he has provided for this. Because when we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. So it's important for us to see And understand this in a biblical sense, that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So is healing in the blessing of Abraham? And why do we ask this question? That there's a scripture which, and this brings about the second half of that scripture and the next verse. It talks about Christ hath redeemed us. This is Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So how does blessing come? It's through Jesus Christ. As far as God's concerned, and Jesus said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, this is one of the major reason for the existence of the body of Christ, to be a witness in the earth, to preach the word of God, to preach the gospel. And when we're preaching that, we're saying you must come to Christ. Because if you don't, what is there? There's the curse. But in Christ, there's what is known as the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. Let's learn a bit more about what the blessing of Abraham is. Is healing in the blessing of Abraham? That's the question we have. Now, the Bible tells us in Genesis 24, verse 1b, the last part of Genesis 24, we know that the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. All things. Now, we just want to look at one part of those things that he blessed Abraham in. One part of that was in healing and health. You may know, if you've read the scriptures, that Sarah, for example, his wife, was barren, had not had a child, and he himself was not able to bring about a child as well. So there had to be something happen in their bodies to change that. And so one thing that was in the blessing of Abraham, because we looked at God had blessed Abraham in all things, strength for his own body and healing for Sarah's to conceive seed and to have a child. That's in Hebrews 11, verse 11. Also, remember God had blessed Abraham in all things. Healing was available when he prayed. And in Genesis, we can find that in Genesis 20, verses 17 and 18. He prayed for people and they were healed. So you can see healing must be in the blessing of Abraham. It has to be, according to the scripture, because God had blessed him in all things, and part of that was strength and healing for his own body and for his wife's, and healing was available when he prayed. Also, Galatians 3 verse 9 says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Important to see that. We are blessed with him. We are blessed with faithful Abraham. So we shouldn't be calling ourselves cursed. We should be calling ourselves blessed. If you're born again, if you've received Christ as your Saviour, if you're in Christ, that's where the blessing of Abraham is. And you can say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed with faithful Abraham. And you need to be faithful too. Faithful to God's word. Faithful to going forward in him. So is healing covered in salvation? Now there's many, many Christians that don't believe healing is covered in salvation, and therefore they don't preach about it, they don't teach about it. Well, we do, because we do believe healing is covered in salvation. Salvation is more than just I've got entrance into heaven. Okay, salvation has healing in it. And there's many scriptures we could go through covering that. Now, healing is part of redemption. We saw that before. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We are blessed with faithful Abraham. God has not changed and still heals today. Is Jesus alive today? Yes, he is. He is alive today. And he still heals today. He still restores today. as we come to him by faith, he will take you where you're at and will change you completely around. And change your body, change your mind, change every part of you that needs to be restored and healed. In fact, in Exodus 15 verse 26, God says to his people, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Has God changed? It wasn't just for the Old Testament people. It's also for today. In fact, have a look at 3 John 2 in the scriptures. We'll just have a quick look at that, because this is in the New Testament. This is in the New Testament. We'll quote other scriptures from the New Testament as well. But 3 John 2 is a very powerful scripture. And notice what it says here. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Now, when it says your soul prospering, that's talking about your inner man. And if your inner man prospers and grows in the knowledge of God and in the understanding of the Word of God, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As your soul prospers, prosperity and healing and health can come into your life. See, even tonight, you've seen some scriptures. Even tonight, you can see, well, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for me. And in that curse, sickness was in it. And by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. But see, God desires greatly. God wants for his people, for you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So your soul has to prosper. You have to grow in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of his word. Praise the Lord. Is Satan behind sickness? We have to understand that Satan is has access because of sin. There's many, many scriptures we could go through. We'll go through a few now. But because of sin, Satan does have access. This scripture, first of all, Satan has access to people because of sin. The Bible shows that he oppresses people with sickness and disease. And this scripture tells us very clearly in Acts 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So notice, Jesus went about doing good. And it defines what doing good was by saying that he was healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Has he changed today? He's still alive today. He's still alive. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. He's still available. His healing and health is still available today. He wants you strong so that you can witness for him in the earth, so that you can be a blessing yourself on the earth. He doesn't want you on your sick bed so that you can't do anything for him. Another scripture we find in Luke 13 verse 16, and it talks about the woman who had a spirit of infirmity, and Jesus said she was a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. Even though she was a daughter of Abraham, she had not received her healing until the time that Jesus came in and preached. And she was bound for 18 years by Satan. Job 2 verse 7 says, "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." Job 2 verse 7 is very clear on that. We'll go through a few more scriptures just relating to this, just so that you know that the administrator of the curse, the destroyer within the curse, are the devils that have access because of sin. Matthew 12 verse 22 says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw." Mark 9:25 says, when Jesus saw that people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. The Bible also calls disease evil, because there's evil powers that are sustaining it. Matthew 10 verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So is it God's will for people to be sick? Well, you should know by now that from some of the scriptures we've looked at so far, that it's not God's will for people to be sick. It's God's will for people to be healed, strong, blessed. Now, of course, they have to hear the word of God, because faith then arises as you hear the word of God, as you grow in the knowledge of God. John 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So Jesus came to do the will of God the Father. What was he doing on the earth when he was doing the will of God the Father? Matthew 8 verses 2b and 3 says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So it's God's will. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Now, we saw this before in Acts 10, verse 38. And what was he doing? What was a major part of his ministry when he was coming to do the will of God? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Is it God's will for people to be sick? No. No, God wants all to come to Christ, because he is the one that supplies the blessing. That's where the blessing is. And when people reject Christ, when they're rejecting Christ, they're rejecting life. They're rejecting truth. Is it God's will to heal today? Is it God's will to heal today? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He has not changed. It's his will to heal today. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes ye were healed. You were healed. And what you need to say is, Lord, I receive that healing. I receive what Jesus has done. He was made a curse for me. He redeemed me from the curse of the law. I am blessed with faithful Abraham. So we start to put these things, the word of God, into our mouth, rather than the words of man. Okay? God wants us as believers in Christ to talk strength. God is my strength, the Bible says. To talk healing. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now we saw one area of the power of darkness was that area of sickness. But Christ has redeemed us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So even if you've sinned, even if you've gone against Christ, you can get that cleansing, that forgiveness, and you can come into right standing with God and have access to that blessing. Matthew 8, 17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself, that's Jesus himself, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He became a curse for us, the Bible tells us. What was he bearing? So why is faith necessary for healing? And the Bible's very clear that we must have faith if we are to please God. And faith is trusting God, believing his word, trusting him, saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust what you say, what you've said. And so we see faith is trust God at his word, and this pleases him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Let's have a look at Hebrews 11 verse 6. Just a quick look at that. Good to turn to the scriptures so that you see it with your eyes. Of course, we have regular healing meetings here because God wants his people to be knowledgeable about this area so that we can walk in strength. We can be delivered from all habits or delivered from all things that would bind us, delivered from sicknesses and infirmity, healed and strong for him. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you cannot please God without faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, we live by faith. And faith trusts God at his word. It says, your word is true, I trust what you say, and I walk according to that. It's impossible to please him. You've got to come to God. For he that cometh to God, you've got to come to God. See, there's many people that don't come to God. They'll do all types of things like blame God for their problems. What a sad thing that is, because he's the answer to all their problems. They must believe that he exists, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. The Bible says in James 5 verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's not the prayer of doubt, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So God tells us, first of all, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Okay? So notice you use the word save. It's part of salvation, isn't it? And also, pray for one another that ye may be healed. This is in the New Testament. So obviously it's not just an Old Testament thing. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. And also Jesus said in Mark 5:34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And so when you pray, or when you have hands laid upon you, you receive it then. You say, thank you, Lord, I receive. I receive that healing. This is a big area, and I want us to be honest about this. Some people get very touchy when we touch on this type of area, but it is a very, very big area. Are sin and sickness related? Because we're going to touch on the area of personal sin. Are sin and sickness related? Well, there is a general relationship between sin, because sin caused the curse to enter into the world. Romans 5 verse 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So there's a general relationship. And of course, Deuteronomy 28, 58 to 68, if you were to read that, you might like to make a mental note. I'll read that when I go home. Makes it clear that the curse due to sin includes plague, sickness, and infirmity. So sin in the world, in the earth, has done a lot of damage. So clearly sin attracts oppression and sickness. It attracts it. It allows entrance to all the wrong things, allows entrance to the curse. And we're just looking at one aspect of the curse. I mean, there's other aspects to the curse, all types of disasters, etc. We're looking just at one aspect, that is the area of sickness and disease and infirmity. So how can failing to walk in God's love affect healing and health and healing? Well, let me just quote from a healing evangelist, Kenneth Hagin, in Love, the Way to Victory, 1994, pages 183 and 184. This is what he says. And he had a lot of tremendous healings in his ministry. If only people understood how much walking in love has to do with folks receiving their healing. That's why in my meetings I encourage folks to hear as much of the word as possible before they get into the healing line. Sometimes they need to make an adjustment in their love walk before they can receive their healing. So think about that. Because the scripture tells us in Galatians 5 verse 6, faith which worketh by love. Remember, if you're not walking in love, for example, you hate your brother or you've got bitterness or all types of things within you, you need to deal with that. Otherwise, it'll be like a blockage. Faith with work, which worketh by love. So love causes your faith to work. You love the brethren, you love God with all your heart, you love your neighbour as yourself. That doesn't mean you get all trampled over. It means you have, in yourself, you have settled, I love. Because God is love. And I determine to walk in love in my life. So the question comes up, is all sickness, disease and infirmity related to personal sin? Well, the answer biblically is no. Jesus gave the example of the man born blind. And this is what he said in John 9 verses 1 to 4. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It's a question that could be asked. Because they knew there was some sort of connection. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And of course Jesus healed him. That was the works of God, healing. So he said here that it wasn't the parents, or it wasn't the man himself, it wasn't their particular sin that caused the blindness. Okay, so we come to another question. Why did Jesus say, sin no more, to the man who had been healed of paralysis? Now, Jesus didn't say there was no connection. Okay? But he said that there will be examples looking around you that are more caused by the general atmosphere of sin, which has got the curse in it, than any particular personal sin that those people had done. But the paralyzed man had been healed. In John 5 verses 8 and 9 it says, Jesus saith unto him, Rise up, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So the man was healed. But notice what Jesus said a little bit later to him. Jesus stated a relationship between sin and the curse. In John 5:14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So he was making a connection there. So obviously what Jesus was saying is that there's some instances which are not connected to personal sin, and there's some instances which are connected to personal sin. And in fact, we're going to look at a few examples where personal sin did, sickness and infirmity did come upon people because of it. So how is personal sin and sickness related? Well, let's look at some of these examples. We'll read a couple of them, but you'll see there's a Bible reference, there's the personal sin, there's the person affected, and there's the consequence. And there's many, many scriptures which show this type of connection. So I'm just going to read through them. I won't read all the scriptures, but the Bible reference in Numbers 12, 1-4 and verse 10, the sin there by Miriam was speaking against the minister of God. And the consequence was she became leprous. In Luke 1, verses 11-20, unbelief of the word of God by Zacharias, he was struck dumb. 1 Kings 13, 1-6, resisting the minister of God, Jeroboam, did this and his hand dried up. And by the way, in that scripture, he asked the man of God to pray for him and he was healed. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 19, Jehoram was into murder and idolatry and he got an incurable disease in his bowels. Now some of this sounds horrible, but what I want to show you is that there is some connection. Okay? And Jesus pointed this out himself. You may not have heard this before, but it's important to understand what the scriptures have to say about it. In Acts 5, 1-5, Ananias and Sapphira lied to God and they were struck dead. Acts 9, 1-2, in verses 8 and 17 and 18, Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church. He became blind. Acts 13, 8-12, Elymas was resisting the gospel work. He became blind. Acts 12, verses 21-24, Herod was lifted up in pride. The Bible tells us he was eaten of worms and died. Many, many examples. Revelation 16, verses 1 and 2. Idolaters into false worship. They contracted a noisome and grievous sore. Psalm 6, 1-10. David was into adultery, as you know, with Bathsheba. He was struck with weakness and vexed in his bones. Pharaoh, because of lust, in Genesis 12, verses 17 and 18, he and his household had great plagues, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17, defilers of the temple of God, their bodies are destroyed. Here's some more examples. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, fornicators into fornication, their bodies are destroyed. 1 Corinthians 11, 28-30, defilers eating and drinking the Lord's Supper unworthily, weakness and early death. Jude 1, verse 5, Israelites, because of unbelief, died in the wilderness. Daniel 4, verses 28-34, Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up in pride. He became insane for 7 years. In 1 Samuel 25, verses 2-39, Nabal, who acted as a fool, railing, churlish and drunken, he had a heart attack and died. That's the scripture. 2 Kings 5, verses 1-27, Gehazi, because he lied, deceived, lusted and stole, he became leprous. Genesis 19, verses 1-11, the Sodomites, because of sodomy and lust, were struck with blindness. Exodus chapters 1-12, the Egyptians, because of rebellion and false worship, had plagues and death. Just one more list here. Exodus 32, verse 35, the Israelites, because of false worship of the golden calf, were struck with plague. 1 Chronicles 21, verses 1-14, the nation of Israel, through David's disobedience to God's commandment, 3 days of pestilence, killing 70,000 men. 2 Samuel 12, verses 13-19, Bathsheba's child was affected because of murder and adultery by David himself, King David himself, and the child died. So sometimes it can affect others. In 1 Samuel 5, verses 1-12, Philistines indulged in blasphemy and profaning the ark of God. They were struck with emerods or tumours. 2 Samuel 6, verses 6 and 7. Uzzah defiled the ark of the covenant and he died upon touching the ark. All I want you to have tonight is an awareness of this area, because there's a great solution to it. How is the personal sin and sickness problem fixed in people's lives? Well, Psalm 71, verse 3, this is the last slide tonight. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. It's talking about when the Bible uses the word heart, it means the inner man. And also, Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. So people getting things right in their life goes a long way towards them being able to receive healing and strength and health. And Psalm 103, verse 20 says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now, whereas devils administer the curse, angels administer the blessing. We'll just have a look at Luke 22, verse 43. I just want to finish with this scripture here. Luke 22, verse 43. Gives one example of what the angels did in their ministry. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Strengthening him. But so we can see the thing that has to be dealt with a lot of times, we saw what Kenneth Hagin had to say about it, is sometimes people need to make an adjustment in their heart. They need to say, Lord, I've sinned. I've done the wrong thing and I need to get that right. Let's all bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Lord, we see this very important area of healing and health. We know that it's your will for us to be strong and whole in you. And Father, we come to you by faith. We approach this whole area by faith. In Jesus' name. Now, if the Lord's been speaking to you about a particular thing, sin, that you know may have been hanging on you, I believe he's been speaking to you. And he's saying that needs to be dealt with. It could be a habit, it could be something you've done. God wants you to repent of it and to come to him and to say, I want to deal with that and receive your healing. Now, I don't want to know your personal sin, but if you have the courage in the Lord and you want to acknowledge to the Lord that you've sinned and you need to get that right, then you can do that tonight. And let me say to you, don't let it go further. Don't let it go on. We saw what Jesus said, sin no more. Lest a worse thing come. See, God can break the power of sin, the power of habit, the power of any bondage. And all you need to do is come. I'm giving the invitation now. You say, Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned. And this is for particular. This is a particular call tonight. You just say, I have sinned. You don't have to say any other details. And I repent. In the name of Jesus, and I want to receive healing. Now, if the Lord is calling you specifically about that, you need to take a faith step. Just step out by faith and come and stand here before me. then we'll pray with you. I'll give you a moment just to think of it. So as you've thought about what's been spoken and preached tonight, and you go back to your home and you think about that, and the Lord still deals with you, get before Him. Get before Him and say, Lord, I want to get it right. I want to walk in your healing and health and strength. I want to walk fully your way. Father, I praise you and thank you for every person here. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a work in all of us. And I thank you, Father, that you have given us access to healing and strength. You are our strength. Bless everyone here abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a finishing chorus. I'll ask Matthew to lead us. Thanks, Matthew.